Lord, we are so grateful for Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're so grateful we get the opportunity as believers in Jesus. Just like we're told in Revelation, there's going to be a multitude around your throne singing hallelujah. And we get to do it here. If we don't, Scripture says, the rocks will cry out, but we're not going to let the rocks praise your name, not in our place. All of creation praises your name, but we lift up your name, and now we want to lift up your word. We want to study it, find comfort in it, direction, guidance. So we ask now that you be our teacher. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Turning your Bibles to John 14. If you're new with this, we're just walking through the Gospel of John, taking our time. And actually, we've been, this is our fourth week in chapter 14. And we're still up in the upper room as far as we know. And in the upper room, we've seen Jesus wash the disciples' feet, tell everyone, the disciples, that one of them is going to betray him. And also Peter is going to deny even knowing him three times. So there's some sadness over the groups. They're troubled. And he's telling them he's leaving them. So, can you imagine all that they're thinking and feeling? All of chapter 14 seems to be written to and designed to provide comfort for the disciples, provide comfort for us. Here's some highlights. Verses 1 and 2 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So, it's amazing. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going, I'm leaving you so I can go prepare a place for you. I said this, I hope it was okay because I didn't really check. But when we're having a guest, which by the way, we're not really having a guest right now. We're having our nephews with us. But we have guests regularly. And Gracious does such a good job making the home ready. She's a good homemaker. And so Jesus is going to be the ultimate homemaker as he goes. He has a lot of guests coming to heaven, and he's preparing a place for you and for me, a special place. Verse 6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so Jesus is the way to get to where he's going, where he's preparing that special place. Jesus is the way. Verses 15 and 17 says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," Jesus being the first helper, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you at Pentecost." So it's good that Jesus leaves the disciples. He leaves by the way of the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and then sends the Spirit at Pentecost. He said it would even be to their advantage. And I'm sure the disciples were like, "Jesus, you really can't leave. We've left our nets, we left our accounting business, our tax collecting business, and we've spent 3 years with you. If you leave, we'll have no idea what to do." The truth is, we don't know what to do now, and you're here. If you leave, we don't know what to do, right? If you follow the disciples, they rarely knew exactly what to do until after Pentecost. So Jesus is going to tell them today that he's going to leave them something, a heritage that will actually deepen their relationship with him, thus deepening our relationship with him. He leaves us a heritage. Now, according to my online dictionary, a heritage is just another word for inheritance. Property that is or may be inherited, an inheritance, valued objects or qualities. So you can pass on things or you can pass on qualities. It's a heritage that we leave. Maybe you've got a lot of money coming one day. I don't know. Maybe you just have a lot of junk coming your way. I mean, all right. Or maybe you have some godly qualities that have already been passed on to you from your parents, your grandparents. Psalm 16, which I read at the beginning of the service, says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." And so the Old Testament writer saw what God left them as a beautiful inheritance, something that they eagerly received. So today we're going to talk about three things that Jesus leaves us. Number one, our heritage from Jesus is his presence. Look at verses 18 through 20 of chapter 14. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Okay, let's stop for a second. There's plenty there to unpack. Jesus senses the trouble that's in the room. He's leaving. They can't follow him, by the way, and they're troubled. So he says, "We aren't alone. You aren't alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me." So it seems like he's referring to perhaps the fact that he's leaving by way of the cross and the world won't see him any longer. Or as Josh Moody writes, whether this is referring to Jesus' resurrection or the gift of the Spirit is not clear. That may be because these two happenings are intricately related and are both in view here. Jesus will die, rise again, ascend to heaven, and send the Spirit to his disciples. All this is the fruit of the work of the cross. One of the great truths of the gospel to enjoy today is that the Christian is never alone. You, as a believer in Jesus, you're never alone. Now, I know there have been times you've felt like you're alone, right? Whether it be in the hospital room, the funeral parlor, bad news about family, no one else seems to care or know, or no one else understands. He is always present with the believer. In the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says he will be with you forever, he will dwell in you, and he never leaves you. We're never alone. And listen, we'll forget that once in a while and feel sorry for ourselves, but listen, we rely on God's word, who says we will never be alone. Second, I want you to see in this is that we have his life. Look at verse 19. "Because I live, you will also live." Referring to, obviously, to the resurrection. He says, because I live, you're going to live. So you can see the comfort there. Listen to the vision of the Son of Man in Revelation 1, verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I'm the first and the last. And the living one, I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore.'" So Jesus in Revelation is describing himself as he died, but he's alive forevermore. He goes on to say, "I have the keys of death and Hades." So Jesus is the one who can give us life if we all but turn to him. We live because he lives. Galatians 2:20 says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We wouldn't live if Christ wasn't living in us because of his resurrection and because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be living. We wouldn't be able to live past this life. Third thing I want to show you is that we're in Christ and he is in us. What are we to make of this phrase? That's what he says in verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do you hear the fellowship that's there? We are in Christ, and he is in us. Sinclair Ferguson writes, it's as if Jesus is saying this. Throughout my ministry, I was with you, but not always outside of you. Always outside of you. You can touch me, you can hear me, but when the Holy Spirit comes as one like me, he who indwells me will indwell you. He will live in you and transform and empower you from the inside. So long as Jesus is physically present, he cannot also dwell in the disciples and in us. He must leave them if he's to dwell in them. The disciples fear that if Jesus leaves them, their relationship with him will come to an end. But the reverse is true. Mutually indwell each other. The Spirit-given union between the Lord Jesus and his people is one of the great mysteries of the gospel. So when Jesus leaves, he indwells us by the person of the Holy Spirit. When we come to know him and by faith in Jesus, and he lives in us and we live in him. Romans 8 says, you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to God. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. So because his Spirit dwells in us, we can have life. And one of the great things that Jesus leaves us, one of the great things of our heritage, is his presence. Secondly, we've got a guest in the foyer. Come on in. Second thing he leaves us, is his word. Look at verse 21. He made it. All right. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I was still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We'll stop for a second. He leaves us his word. Can you imagine? We have no idea what to do, Jesus. You're leaving? We have no idea what to do. I'll just leave my word with you, and it'll tell you exactly what to do. First, I want to point out three things in this passage. Number one, we're in a love relationship, and I don't want to get really weird on you, and all the guys are going to get a little uncomfortable. But we're actually in a love relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the universe, made only possible by the cross of Jesus. I'm not sure we fully understand the beauty of the gospel that saves all who believe in him and all who trust in him. Forgiving us of our sin, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're placed in a loving relationship with Almighty God, not peers. Come on, we understand that. We're not peers, we're servants to Almighty God, but he loves us. And we love him. Hear the word love repeated over and over again in these few verses. If we believe Jesus, and keep his commands, we demonstrate our love for him. Verse 21 says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We keep his commands. We're loved by God Almighty. We're loved by Jesus. Goes on to say, we follow Jesus' commands by loving him, and we're in a loving relationship with the Father and the Son. The word manifest literally means to reveal. So Jesus wants to manifest himself or reveal himself to you and I. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear and be. Let Jesus manifest himself to them. It is his nature to reveal more of himself to those who have ears to hear. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Wait a second. So God Almighty and the Son make their home in anyone who loves Jesus, who accepts his word, the gospel, who lives the word. God makes his home, the creator of the universe makes his home in us. And never leaves us, nor forsakes us. Hey, another thing I want to show you is that we have his word. I mean, that's obvious. We love. It's a love relationship, but it's based on truth. We are not free to follow Jesus on our own terms, which, of course, is what culture would love us to do, to follow Jesus on their terms. No, we follow Jesus on his terms. Just read that whole passage again. If we have his word and we keep his word, verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them. Verse 23, whoever loves me will keep my word. And verse 24 says, whoever does not love me does not keep my word. Verse 25, the things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. He left us his presence, and he left us a rich heritage of his word. Listen, so Jesus left this. By the way, I picked this one up. This is my college Bible, and it's worn out because it's 45 years old. And I don't use it every week, but I picked it up this week, and there's some reasons I did, because I just, this passage is just marked, and this Bible just marked up. But Jesus said, I'm leaving you, but I'm giving you my words to follow. Love it. Read it. Study it. Mark it up. Sorry if that sounds bad to you. You'll have to look at this one. Mine's really marked up. Because he wanted to leave you a rich heritage and give us instructions to follow. We're not blind here. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. Your word, your testimonies, your commandments, they're the joy of my heart. Again, you might have riches coming one day and an inheritance. Trust me, Grace and I know there'll be a lot of junk in those riches. If they, never mind. As we clean out houses, we both have houses we're cleaning out. God bless the junk. If you have the opportunity, get rid of your junk now, please, for your kids' sake. Why did I even go there? So, listen, God has given us the richest inheritance you can have. His word. So not only is we in a love relationship with God Almighty, we have his word, but we also have the Holy Spirit to remind us of his word. We have short memories. I don't know about you. My memory's shorter than it used to be. It gets shorter all the time. You can make jokes if you want. Yours is too. Thank you for the nods. So Jesus sent us help to help us remember what he said. everything he taught. The Holy Spirit teaches us, reminds us. Just a quick reminder, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Always referred to as like a teacher. Well, that's something only a person does. A comforter, that's something only a person does. An advocate, that's only something a person does. The Holy Spirit is a person. 1 Corinthians 2:10, I read this this week and kind of blew me away. Jot this down if you can and look at it later. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 13. But this is what it says. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in him? So no one knows or comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words that not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. There's no way we can know the great depths of the truths of God without the Spirit of God, without His Word that the Spirit points us to. So our heritage from Jesus is His presence, His Word, and lastly, His peace. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So Jesus leaves the believer with his presence, his word, and here we find out his peace. Not the kind of peace the world leaves, but his peace. The world's peace is often temporary, treats the symptoms, or escapism, unfulfilling. But Jesus gives us something much richer than that. I would like to distinguish between the peace with God and the peace of God. If you give me just a moment. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every one of us was born an enemy of God because of our sin. Separated from God, you could say we were at war with God. But when we embrace the cross and confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, the Bible says we'll be saved. And that's when, through Jesus and the cross of Jesus, we get peace with God. We're no longer his enemies. We're his friends because of the cross of Christ. Verse 30 and 31 says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He's not going to talk with them much because the cross is just a few days away. And Satan is going to nip his heel on the cross. Although we're told Jesus will crush his head. But the ruler of the world is coming. And I'm sure Satan thought when the cross comes, he's won a victory, but the victory was actually ours. And gave glory to Jesus and his Father. Ephesians 2 says, Jesus is himself our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself in himself one new man in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile us both. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we have access to the Spirit, to one Father. So Jesus on the cross makes peace. All who will believe in him, accept him, have peace with the Father. But Jesus also tells his disciples that they're going to have tribulation. I just want you to think about, first of all, Jesus is going to die. That's a very troubling time for them. They actually end up hiding. They figure they're next, so they're hiding. And even after the church is unleashed after Pentecost and they're preaching boldly, every one of them is going to face trials and tribulations and die, except John. Die for their faith, be martyred, except John. They're going to go through hard times. But he's saying, I'm going to leave you my peace. And I believe he's talking about not only peace with him, but the peace of God. And let me give you a couple scriptures. Number one, Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding, surpasses all our understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed a little help guarding your heart and mind that was going everywhere? Well, the world can't do that for you. But Jesus says, I give you my peace. Not only peace with God, but the peace of God that will say, be still. You know, how he calmed the sea with the wind and the waves and said, be still, and they did. He can do that for us. And there have been situations I've been in, I know you've been in situations where it just comes over you, can't explain it, doesn't take the grief away, it doesn't take the problem away necessarily. It just gives you peace in the situation. And you can't figure out why. Well, because it's beyond our understanding, that's why. John 16:32-33 says, behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and leave me alone. Talking about the events leading up the crucifixion, Jesus' disciples will all scatter, all but John. Yet Jesus said, even though everyone leaves me, I'm not alone. For the Father is with me, and I have said these things to you, that in you you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Anybody know why we can take heart? Anybody? What? Because he overcomes the world through the death, burial, and resurrection. And so you were going to have trouble. Jesus said, I'm having trouble in the next few days. But I'm not alone. Jesus says, my Father is with me. And you're going to have trouble. How do you like that for a prediction? It came true, didn't it? Everybody in this room's had some trouble. Be of good cheer. No matter what happens in this life, he's overcome the world, and because he lives, you will live beyond this life. Our heritage from Jesus is his presence, his word, and his peace. So, how do you respond today? First, I just want to make sure and let you know that really all of this message is geared for a believer, okay? To really have the presence of Jesus in you, to have his word and understand it fully, to have his peace. You need to have peace with Jesus. You need to have peace with the Father. So he comes, and the Bible says if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, embrace and follow the cross, that we'll be saved. We'll have peace with Jesus. God. And I just want to ask, have you done that? We're not looking for some kind of, I don't know, false peace that only lasts for a little bit. We're talking about peace with God Almighty lasts for eternity. And then, if you have that peace with God, will you remember his inheritance that he leaves you? Will you remember his presence? He will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you end up experiencing. Will you remember his word? Will you keep his word? Will you study his word? Will you treasure? I mean, every once in a while you find an heirloom. We're in a stage of life where I refer to this often. But every once in a while you find an heirloom, something you didn't know your mom or dad had, and you're like, oh, this isn't worth anything, but it means so much to me that I found this. I got my mom and dad, I got a box of my mom and dad's love letters when dad was in Korea. What do I do with that? But you start reading it. It's worth nothing, except you just start reading it and you hear their love for each other and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I don't know, this is a treasure that we need to value that Jesus provided for us when he left. We need to read it and go, wow, this is what he intends for us to, how he intends for us to live. This is his love for us. And then are you willing to experience his peace? Just, Lord, I need your peace. I don't have it right now. I have peace with you, but I need the peace of you in this situation. Simple prayer, hard sometimes, but it's a work of the Spirit. So, I'm so grateful for his presence, his word, and his peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you so much for this text that reminds us what Jesus left us. So powerful, and it was to the disciples' advantage. It is to our advantage that Jesus left to go to the cross and was buried, rose again, ascended to the Father, sent the Spirit at Pentecost, and the church was unleashed. Wow. And in the midst of all that, he left us his presence to dwell in us. Every believer in this room, according to what we just read, you, Father, and the Son, make you dwell in each believer. You make your home there. I love the expression of home, because home's not just a house. Home is where you do life. Home is where you eat meals together. Home is where you express love to one another. Home is where you serve one another. And the fact that you make your home in me and in every believer in this room is mind-blowing. And we're so grateful for the presence of Jesus, who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And we're so grateful for his word. Lord, I pray we would just recapture just the treasure of your word. You left us a legacy of your teaching and also all the promises in the Old Testament of you coming. And then, of course, the church and the history of the early church. You left that for us. May we treasure it, read it, study it, preach it, proclaim it, live it. And Lord, we're so grateful for your peace. First, for the peace that Jesus on the cross made for us, that all who believe in Jesus can have peace with you. And if there's somebody, just one person here, who's never given their life to Christ, I pray that today that your Holy Spirit would draw them into a relationship with you. And then for everyone who knows you, but still finds himself in difficult situations, God, may the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And we know it's beyond our own understanding, but guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us now as we respond in Jesus' name. Amen.